strictly on the Southwest US. We are three projects in two in Nevada, one in Arizona. We're really focusing on the one in Nevada called the Capass producing Candelaria Silver Mine, produced about 68 million ounces. We are trying to get it reactivated, two big heap leach pads, two big open pits. We have a current 43-101 resource constituting about 108 million ounces of silver equivalent, measured and indicated, another 30 million ounces inferred, estimated to contain about 70% pure silver. That would assay 700,000 grams per ton silver, which is ridiculous. But anyway, so we've been searching for the in-ground source of that mineralization. We did a little drill program. We got some good silver and copper grades, but we didn't hit the big one. We're doing some more work. We're doing some geophysical studies. We're doing what's called ground penetrating radar. We're doing drone magnetometer surveys, and we're looking for the source of that extremely high-grade mineralization.
Good day, everybody. We are back. Today, I've got Greg Crow, President CEO of Silver One Resources. Greg, how are you today?
I'm very good. Thank you very much, Steve.
Greg, before we start, if you can tell us your website, your ticker, where you're trading for our listeners.
Sure, not a problem. Our website is www.silverone.com, all one word, Silver One. We trade on three exchanges. We trade on the Toronto Venture Exchange under the symbol SVE. We trade on the OTCQX exchange. Symbol is SLVRF, and we trade in Frankfurt. Symbol is BRK1.
Well, thanks so much for Greg. I wanted to bring you on because I wanted to learn more about Silver One. Thank you for the opportunity to for me to interview you to learn more about it. I wanted to start with your kind of 30-second overview. If you can just kind of tell us where the project is, what stage is it in, and why it matters.
Yeah, Silver One, it's a bit of a unique company in the sense that we're focusing strictly on the Southwest US. We are three projects in two in Nevada, one in Arizona. We're really focusing on the one in Nevada called the Capass producing Candelaria Silver Mine, produced about 68 million ounces. We are trying to get it reactivated, two big heap leach pads, two big open pits. We have a current 43-101 resource constituting about 108 million ounces of silver equivalent, measured and indicated, another 30 million ounces inferred. We're currently doing a lot of metallurgical work, and we're advancing to a pre-feasibility study later this year. Phoenix Silver Project in Arizona is an extremely interesting project in the sense that it's at the northeast end of an extremely prolific copper-producing belt. Our nearest neighbors right across the valley, you can see all their workings, are Freeport-McMoRan producing copper. We've got BHP with a brand new big porphyry discovery. We've got extremely high-grade silver in silver vein fragments, and we have done some drilling. We're doing some more work on that, but we also have good porphyry copper silver exploration potential on the south side. We're being looked at by several very sizable companies with respect to partnering out in the copper. Our third project, Eastern Nevada, we're not doing a lot of work there, very prospective, but we're just too busy with our other two projects right now.
Greg, thanks for that breakdown. If you can, let's park a little bit on Candelaria Mine. It's a Nevada friendly jurisdiction. In terms of what you have in the ground, you mentioned the numbers. If you can just kind of go over that briefly again, but talking about the grade scale upside, I know that you've got comps to give us with your closest neighbors, and if you can give us realistic comps that investors should be looking at.
Essentially, a lot of this is in our presentation on our website, the resource that we put out, there's two different components to the resource. It was a past producer. Kinross Gold was the last big producer. They shut down in 97 when silver prices collapsed down to $2.50, actually. And they moved forward. They started reclamation, which they didn't complete, which is beneficial to us today. Sold it off to Silver Standard. We did a deal with Silver Standard. We now have 100% with no royalties back to Silver Standard. The resource we outlined. There's two components. There's in-ground resource, which goes down dip from the two big past producing open pits. And then there's still a lot of silver left in the old heap leach pads. So we're moving forward to a pre-feasibility study. The resource constitutes about 71 million ounces in-ground resources, silver equivalent, at the measured and indicated level, with another 7 million ounces inferred. And then we're starting into potential underground at deeper levels with another 6.5 million ounces of silver, silver equivalent, and another 3 million ounces inferred. And then on the big heap leach pads, we've got one big leach pad with over 31 million ounces of silver. And we've got the second smaller one with another 16 million ounces. So that's how we arrive at the 108 million ounces measured and indicated, plus another 30 million ounces inferred. And that's all silver equivalent. And that really includes about 250,000 ounces of gold. So it's a pretty significant resource.
You mentioned the pre-feasibility study. What's the timeline on that?
It'll be later this year. We've still got to do some additional metallurgical testing. We have to do some drilling to look at slope stabilities on a future expansion to the open pit, things like that. So those things take time, but looking towards the later on this year.
And for the Phoenix Silver Project, you guys are doing active work there. What are you guys doing? And is that primarily a copper or silver? What's that project look
like? It's a unique beast, shall we say, in the sense that the reason we did a deal on the property, and we do have 100% ownership, the reason we did a deal was some prospectors had gone up the hillside and they had uncovered these huge silver vein fragments. One of those silver vein fragments, which was extremely angular and unabraded, which means it didn't travel very far, It weighed in at 417 pounds. Estimated to contain about 70% pure silver. That would assay 700,000 grams per ton silver, which is ridiculous. But anyway, so we've been searching for the in-ground source of that mineralization. We did a little drill program. We got some good silver and copper grades, but we didn't hit the big one. We're doing some more work. We're doing some geophysical studies. We're doing what's called ground penetrating radar. We're doing drone magnetometer surveys, and we're looking for the source of that extremely high-grade mineralization. There's an entirely second system defined by about 250 high-grade silver fragments to the north that also needs to be looked at. Now, in the southern part of the property, what's intriguing is its lower elevation, and we're getting a lot of copper and silver. And we have two big geophysical anomalies called ZTEM anomalies that look like porphyry targets. Why is that interesting? We're at the northeast end of a very prolific porphyry copper belt, probably the second largest producing porphyry copper belt in all of the United States. Our nearest neighbors are Freeport-McMoRan, just to the southwest of us along strike, BHP, which has a new discovery with good porphyry copper intercepts right along strike. We've got Capstone mining away. We've got KGHM, the big Polish silver copper company, working away there. And we have the big infamous Resolution deposit, which is a joint venture between Rio Tinto and BHP that they're trying to get permitted. It's a big underground open block cave type deposit. So we're in the right neighborhood for porphyry copper. We've collected multiple samples on surface. We're getting values, multiple values greater than a percent copper with several thousand grams per ton silver, a little bit of gold. And we're getting our doors being knocked on regarding, do we want to partner out on that porphyry copper potential. So we would consider that. Porphyry copper exploration is extremely expensive and a bit onerous for a junior company. And we'd consider partnering out the porphyry copper while we chase the extremely high-grade silver. So that's what's happening right now at Phoenix Silver.
So if you were to take a drone out, I mean, if you can tell me a little bit about the infrastructure that's there in your two projects.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go first Candelaria. Okay. Infrastructure is excellent. It was past producing mine. The very northeast corner of our property is cut by the main highway that joins Reno to Las Vegas. We've got 2 miles of paved road to the existing open pits. We've got power on site. We pay our monthly power bills. We've got the resources I've talked about, and we've got active water wells. We pump and we test them on a monthly basis, and we renew them annually. So most of the infrastructure is there. Nothing left to the processing site that Kinross started tearing apart. So that would all have to be replaced, but it would have to be replaced anyway because it would be more than 30 years old. At Phoenix Silver, we've got a just outside the town of Globe. Globe is just east of Phoenix, Arizona. Major copper producing area, lots of infrastructure. Freeport-McMoRan has one of only two operating smelters at Globe, which is just, and you can see, as I said, you can see all their workings just to the south of our property. Our property is accessed by a series of, dirt roads, etc. The further north reaches, we need to put in a new road, but lots of, as I said, skilled labor and lots of machinery. And, we've already put in roads for drilling in the past.
So Candelaria, Phoenix, Silver, Nevada and Arizona, and then you also have Cherokee Project. Do you also own Cherokee 100% as well?
We do. We staked Cherokee and we bought some of the old patented claims, so we have 100%. What's about Cherokee that's interesting? As I said, it's early stage. There's big vein systems that we've traced for over 9 miles along strike. At the northern end by the old Cherokee mine, there's a little bit of past production there, really high-grade silver and copper grades. Further to the south, we're getting some pretty significant silver and gold grades. The area was drilled in the 1980s for porphyry molybdenum. I've done a lot of sampling. We've done some geophysics. It looks like there is a big porphyry target. It'll probably be deep, but we're getting good copper, silver, gold, and molybdenum values in all of our samples. And it looks like it also has potential for what are called carbonate replacement deposits, which are some of these big replacement deposits in limestone rocks that you see in Mexico that are really high-grade producers. So we got a lot of work to do, early stage. We'd consider partnering that one out as well. We just haven't had a group that wants to give us the terms that we're looking for.
Greg, you've got several different projects. I know that you're really getting a lot of interest. Curious as to where your company is in terms of market cap and, where do you see the biggest disconnect or opportunity for investors right now?
Yeah. So essentially, if you look at the market cap, we've gone up significantly like most of the other companies, with respect to the price of silver, the price of gold, which is skyrocketing right now with the insecurity around the world. And it's interesting. I'm just getting a current market cap for you because it changed dramatically today. We're up about 12% in the markets today. We're just under 200 million Canadian, about 195 million Canadian is our current market cap. And I would say this time last year, we were about a third of that. So we've gone up about 200%.
And how much cash do you have right now and how far does it carry you?
We've got about 4 million in the bank right now. We did a financing last September. That's going to carry us through our studies that we're currently doing. But if we want to get in and start drilling for additional mineralization or drill some of the targets at Phoenix Silver, we will have to go back to the markets.
Okay. And then if you want to walk us through your share structure, shares outstanding, fully diluted, key option
Sure.
warrants.
Sure, and you can see that on pretty well the last page of our not quite the last page, but of our presentation. You want to look at it in detail. We've got about 290 million shares issued and outstanding. We've got some warrants out there and options, so fully diluted about 332 million. We've got major shareholders in there. Our largest shareholder is probably a name known to you, Eric Sprott. He's about 13-14%. We've got the big Jupiter Investment Fund out of London. They're there just under 5%. We've got Commodity Capital in Switzerland, which is about 3.5%. And we have about 20 small family funds invested in us as well. So, we've got a pretty good shareholder base, and we've never had problems raising money in the past. We've been around since 2016. We've never done a brokered financing. Everything has been close associates, private placements, etc. And we'll see how we go in the next financing.
Greg, if I were to run into Eric and ask him, what excites him about Silver One, or the people who are heavily invested, what would they say? What do you think is driving all the excitement?
Well, it's an interesting question, but you have to think about Eric and the other 100 plus companies that he's silver companies that he's invested in, shall we say. So, Silver One, what he likes about Silver One originally was the resource base at Candelaria. The original resource was a historic resource. We've just updated that in the last year to current 43-101. So I think you'll be pleased with that. And we're moving it forward towards pre-feasibility and hopefully moving forward towards production as well.
Greg, for people who don't know you, your story, if you can tell us about your background a little bit and just kind of how you got plugged in to Silver One, and if you have anybody on your team that's worth mentioning for, to give us confidence you're able to take us from point A to point B and the next step.
Sure. Well, my background is I've got 2 degrees in geology. I've been in the industry for 30 plus years. My last position was I was president and CEO of a company called Entrée Gold. That was between 2002 and 2015. Now, what was Entrée Gold and why was that a significant company? Well, it had all the ground surrounding then Ivanhoe Mines' Oyu Tolgoi project in Mongolia, which turned out to be one of the largest porphyry copper gold discoveries of the last century. We had all the ground surrounding. We did a deal with Ivanhoe where they put in $35 million US into our company to do exploration. We had such good intercepts with the drilling that was done that Rio Tinto came in and displaced Ivanhoe as our major shareholder, as our major shareholder displacing Ivanhoe Mines. Shortly after that, within a couple of years, Sandstorm streaming company, Sandstorm Gold, came in and put a significant amount of money into the company to get a streaming deal. We at the time retained a 20% carried interest right through to production in the extensions to Oyu Tolgoi. I retired in 2015. I was retired for about 6 months when got a phone call. A fellow by the name of Keith Neumeyer asked me if I wanted to start a new silver company, which I did, called Silver One. And started out with three Mexican projects with his affiliated company, First Mining Finance. But when I contacted some of my associates at Silver Standard at the time, precursor to SSR. They said, we've got these projects we're getting rid of because we're focusing on gold mining, and we targeted the Candelaria. With the Candelaria and the subsequent acquisition of Phoenix Silver and Cherokee in eastern Nevada, we decided to drop the early stage Mexican projects, and we've moved forward ever since. So that's my background.
Yeah, well, before we go to the rest of your team that you might want to mention, I do want to ask, what's Keith Neumeyer's involvement with Silver One? I know he's...
Well, he doesn't really have an involvement per se, you know, apart from, you know, he was an investor, early investor in the company. But in terms of a day-to-day management, he's not hands-on at all. So that's, you know, he's busy with his First Majestic and his First Mining Finance, and he's involved in a couple of other companies, but he's left the running of Silver One to the current management team.
Anybody else on your team that's...
Yep, sure. I don't know if you've heard of a fellow by the name of Luke Norman. He is with a company called US Gold. He's been in the industry for many years. He's bringing a project to the development stage in Wyoming. It's a big copper gold project, and he's been very successful. We have another person on our board, Claudia Turnquest. She is currently the president and CEO of a company called Kodiak Copper, looking at some very interesting porphyry copper gold deposits in southern British Columbia. We have another fellow by the name of Ken Enquist, who is a mining engineer, lots of experience. We rely on him a lot with respect to moving forward with development of Candelaria. He was formerly with Western Copper. Prior to that, he was with First Mining Finance, and he's been around for many years. We have a couple of other ones, a fellow by the name of Raul Diaz, who is our VP of Exploration. He had 30 plus year with Peñoles out of Mexico, ran their Peruvian office, so he's got a great exploration background. He lives in Nashville, Tennessee, and he looks after a lot of our exploration work in the United States. And we have another fellow by the name of Barry Gerling. He's been in the industry for 30 years, lots of experience with junior markets, and so he's been a lot of good advice with respect to financing and legislation issues.
Greg, your company seems to check a lot of boxes. Why aren't you guys priced higher?
Well, do you believe in the Lassonde curve?
I do. Where are you on it?
We're post expiration. We're kind of in that early development. We need to do this pre-feasibility study, and then we can move forward much more rapidly. So the initial exploration has tailored off a little bit, shall we say. But there's so much exploration upside on our projects that we may concurrently restart exploration while we're advancing Candelaria to production. So we might, again, get a lot of exploration excitement.
And the exploration being where primarily?
Two.
In Phoenix?
Two areas.
Okay.
First of all, Candelaria.
Okay.
We can do a lot more drilling to increase mineralization. We also have porphyry copper potential at Candelaria that has never really been explored for. We have a few samples and a couple of drill holes that look interesting, but it needs to go further. But we're concentrating on getting the silver into production. Phoenix Silver, a lot of exploration upside. Porphyry copper and high-grade silver. Candelaria is there, or so to say, Cherokee is there as well, but we're just too busy to you know, be focusing on Cherokee right now.
Greg, for those who wanted to follow your story further, where would they find you? If you can tell us the website again and your where you're trading your tickers.
Sure, sure. So we are trading on the Toronto Venture Exchange under the symbol SVE. We're trading on the OTCQX Exchange under the symbol SLVRF. We're trading on Frankfurt under the symbol BRK1. And our website is www.silverone.com. Silver One is all one word.
For those listening, Greg and Silver One have not paid for this interview. They're not sponsors. I'm currently not an investor, although that may change. Please do your own due diligence. I cannot give investment advice. One of the ways you can do that is to reach out to Greg, follow their story, check out their website, and reach out to Greg if you have any questions. Greg, thank you so much for your time, for letting me learn about your company, and enjoyed it very much.
Thanks, Dave. Take care.
Thanks, guys.